Hola, ¿cómo estás? Espero que todo esté bien contigo. This is Tamara Marie, host of the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast. I wanted to ask you a quick question before we get started with this episode. Do you have trouble hearing and understanding native Spanish speakers? Whether you've been learning Spanish for 2 weeks or 2 years, it can be a struggle to really understand the fast pace of Spanish spoken by native speakers. So if that's you, don't worry, I got you. I have developed a method that will help you understand 80% of spoken Spanish in less than 30 minutes. This method will help you improve your ability to hear and understand native Spanish speakers so you can increase your listening comprehension and shed your fear of being afraid to start a conversation. You know, a lot of times we don't want to talk to someone in Spanish because we're afraid that when they talk back, we're not going to understand what they say. So we really need to get after that fear by improving our Spanish listening skills. So if this is something that you're interested in, I'd love to share it with you. I'm providing access to this masterclass absolutely free so that you can learn how to improve your Spanish listening skills. If you want to sign up, just go to SpanishConSalsa.com/listen. That's SpanishConSalsa.com/listen. Now, we're only going to have this masterclass available for a limited time, so make sure you sign up today if you want to get access, SpanishConSalsa.com/listen. Okay, let's get to this episode of the podcast.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast, the show for Spanish learners that love music, travel, and culture. Close your grammar textbooks, shut down the language apps, and open your ears to how Spanish is spoken in the real world. Let us show you how to go from beginner to bilingual. Here is your host, certified language coach, Tamara Marie.
Bienvenidos al episodio 171. Welcome to episode 171 of the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast. I am super excited to share a conversation with you this week with one of the star members of our Spanish Fluency Club. And if you're not familiar with the Fluency Club, it's actually our online community where we not only learn Spanish with music, but we also get plenty of practice speaking it and learning to just get comfortable with having conversations in Spanish. So it's something that I love to share. Anytime we have a member who has really taken advantage of being a part of the community and really enjoys learning, I like to share those stories with you because maybe it will inspire you to take the next step that you need to take to get to Spanish fluency. And spoiler alert, it's probably not learning another grammar topic. It's probably more in line with actually putting into practice what you have learned. And Kimberly's story really does speak to that. She talks about how she spent, almost 2 years learning Spanish on an app before she even tried to speak the language and got comfortable with speaking. And Kimberly is proof positive that you can learn Spanish no matter how old you are, no matter what your schedule is. She is a nurse. She is a mom, so she's definitely very busy. She has a lot to do with her work and with her family, and she started learning over 40, so you don't have to be a college student or a baby to start learning Spanish in order to get to a point where you feel comfortable speaking the language. So I'm really excited to share Kimberly's story with you. I'm sure you will find her energy infectious and that you will hopefully get some good advice from her on how you can incorporate Spanish into your daily life so that you can actually get to fluency one day, and not just make it one day, but make that day sooner rather than later. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Kimberly. Thank you so much, Kimberly, for joining me today on the Learn Spanish con Salsa podcast.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes. And Kimberly, so you were called out to my attention as being one of the star members of the Spanish Fluency Club. So I wanted to talk to you just to get an idea of what your experience has been and so that other people could be inspired, hopefully, by your story as well. So just start out by telling us a little bit about you and why it is that you wanted to start learning Spanish in the first place.
Well, ever since I was young, ever since I could remember, I've always thought Spanish was just the coolest language. I've either as a kid or as an adult, I've lived in Arizona, a little California, Texas, and then as an adult, 5 years in Colorado. And so lots of Spanish. So it's pretty much everywhere. And then even I have Sesame Street. Yeah. So everything was just like, I want to learn that language. And then I finally got into high school and I took Spanish and I did well. I don't know how, because I look back and I'm like, I don't know if I really be able to speak much. Right. So, and then I even took a year of Latin in college. And actually, that is so beneficial. If anyone has the opportunity to take Latin, so beneficial for Spanish. And then I took 3 semesters of Spanish. And even then, I look back, I'm like, what did I really learn? And so I thought, well, pretty much the only way that you could learn, or maybe a few ways, would be with your family, right? So if you lived in the country, all the cliches, right? So the only ways, right? So I've learned different, luckily. And then also, oh, maybe if you could learn at the university through a textbook, right? And so I still really wanted to learn Spanish, but my life pretty much progressed. I would try to speak some Spanish to people that I, you know, worked with at my different jobs. And then I just really was like, I really want to learn Spanish. And I want to learn it now. I was in my 40s. And so I started really simple with, you know, the app with the owl, everybody knows, right?
So yes.
Be nice. Yeah. And at one point I had a 500 day streak, right?
Wow.
So, and I would just do a few minutes a day. And I looked and I was doing a few other things, thank goodness. But then I decided, nope, you need to just go all in, pick a few and just go all in. And I was like, all right. I did have to tell my husband, I'm like, just so you know, I'm like, I went ahead and stopped. I, you know, removed it. But looking back, I'm like, what did I even really learn? Like 500 days, even if it's wow. five minutes. But then again, it is nice. It just kind of help. It's, you know, there's a free version. So at that point, I started to listen to people. And a lot of people would say, actually, you should just start talking to people and actually get involved. That's the real way. Have a tutor. You can get a tutor online, and we're really lucky that we have technology.
Right.
So, and then so about 2000, I don't know, maybe 2019, I was just looking around, and one of your friends, Ollie, right? Ollie with Story Learning. Mm-hmm. So I went across his program and I started with that. So, and then I was just using a little bit here and there. I would use an application for vocabulary. It's a really good one. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the different applications that I use or if I.
Yeah, you can share. Feel free to share. Yeah. If it's been helpful to you.
Yeah. So I use Drop, and I found it really helpful for general. And then also I recently got the premium Quizlet, for two reasons. And I use that is because a lot of your lessons are there, so I can go and review whatever, you know, the pretérito, whatever I need to learn. And then also I've been adding it whenever I learn vocabulary in the Spanish Fluency Club, or with my tutor outside of Spanish Fluency Club, I go and add that so I can learn, because a lot of these words don't stick, mm-hmm. you know, so I do that. And then I do Zumba, and I love Zumba, and I love the songs, and almost all my playlists are all just Spanish songs. There's a few English, a few that are in there, and I really wanted to know the lyrics. And then also I'm a nurse. I work mostly with adults, but I also work mostly with kids, but I speak to a lot of parents and then some adults. And I used to be inpatient. Now I actually work via, you know, telephone and computer. So, but even then I'm like, I really need to learn Spanish. And my biggest motivation is actually the culture. I want to talk to people and culture. So I do like nursing. I do like medicine. I like being able to talk about that, but that's always going to be kind of tertiary, if that makes mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. So I may get to there someday, but I looked up and I'm like, I'm going to see if I can find some way to learn Spanish. It sounds like it's, you know, so, you know, like, wow. So let me see if I can find a way to learn Spanish through songs. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to look up some podcasts. I'm like, what is this? Spanish school songs? Like, this doesn't even sound like this could happen. And I talk about this program all the time. So, yeah, everybody knows about it. They're like, yeah, talk to Kimberly, start talking about how great Spanish colon sauce is. And even my husband. And so he has a joke, so does my brother, that if you're saying a word too much, you're limited the number of times a day you can say it. So, you know, it might have been, you know, whatever, like feeding for babies when my kids were young or whatever. But my husband jokes, it's Spanish corn salsa. I know it's Spanish corn salsa, Kimberly. You don't have to. So, it's so great. And then, yeah. So, and then I saw, like, first I, you know, followed the podcast. And then I did the music classes. So, and then I'm like, I really want to do the Spanish Fluency Club. Like, it sounds amazing. So, I'm like, well, this is not, like, you know, right before the holidays. I'm like, but next time it opens up, I'm going to be ready, because my mom always taught me with things, there's never a perfect time.
Right.
Never a perfect time. You will always be waiting if you wait for the perfect time. And so I joined in April last year and then started in May. And yeah, like the amount of Spanish that I have learned. Yeah, I can't even believe how much I've learned in a year just from the Spanish Fluency Club. Like, thank you for developing. I just follow it. I try to work a little ahead. Mm-hmm. I also try to learn vocabulary, whatever's usually going on with my kids or maybe my job a little bit. I'll try to look up, like, you know, the My Little Pony party, right? That's not going to be for everybody, but, you know, for my weekend it was. So yeah, we try to know, like, a little bit about what's going on. But yeah, so it's just amazing. Yeah, the Fluency Club. Yeah, so thank you for making this program. So
no, well, you know, it's so interesting. You said a couple things that stood out to me. So the first thing, I have to admit, so Zumba was also my gateway drug to learning how to dance salsa, which is also how I started learning Spanish, because I was like you. I was like, I want to know what the songs are saying. I want to understand these song lyrics, and I want to learn in an immersive way. I want to learn about the culture. And, you know, I can't just pick up and leave and move to a foreign country right now, because, like, I have a job, I have a home, I have a son, you know, so I had all these things going on, and I was like, there's got to be a way to do this. So it's just funny how you mentioned that, like, it mirrors some of my experience as well. And I wanted to ask you, since you talked about, like, time, you know, you mentioned being a mom, being a nurse. So I know that your schedule is really crazy. You know, also being, you know, in your 40s, like, some people start learning in college or in high school or when they're children, they say, oh, you can't be fluent unless you start learning language, like, when you're, like, 2 years old and all that kind of thing. So how is it that you've managed to find the time to learn so much Spanish in the time that you have since you joined the Fluency Club? Because I imagine that your schedule is busier than most, or maybe just as busy as some other people who might be listening. So can you share, like, how you're able to fit everything in and how you make time for it?
So it's just making it a priority. And then you also taught us as a group, what's your plan B? So what are you going to do if you just have no time to sit down and formally? So, and in that case, it's, you know, I'm usually listening to the songs, or I might even listen to one of your grammar lessons or whatever. So, because sometimes you're on the soccer field all day or wherever, like, and you just,
right.
you just don't have time. So always having kind of that plan B, you taught us that, and then just making it a part of your life. So let's say you don't have a time to sit down, but you're going to be, you know, cleaning your house, you're going to be cooking, you're going to be doing the dishes or whatever. Or even let's say, I need to be able to walk. I need to get a little activity today, but I also need to do Spanish. And today's just one of these days I'm going to be working 10 hours or whatever. I'm going to be up till 10 o'clock doing activities or whatever. Then you can listen to the Spanish, and you think it doesn't benefit you, but it does. So, because there's a certain amount of, I don't know what the word for it in your brain, but the whole muscle memory. So mm-hmm. Yeah, eventually you're like, oh, why is this song so much easier now? Well, because I've listened to it so many times. But I incorporated into my lunch break. So I'm fortunate that I have to work 8 to 5. So I have to take an hour lunch break. So I incorporate, you know, at least 10 minutes into my lunch break. And then I also make sure I have time in the evening. So often when my kids go to sleep, or also, you know, mommy's 10 minutes, mommy's 20 minutes. And so they know it's Spanish time. So just making it a priority. And then you just gotta choose. There's only so many hours in the day, right? So
right.
So what, because people are like, oh, that's so amazing that you do that. You know, that's so amazing. And I'm like, you can do it too, right? So, but you have to choose. And some people may choose to play violin, or people may choose to, you know, do some other activity. So, but for me, it's fun. It's a priority. We just kind of worked it into my day. And I also feel like my family just thinks, especially my kids, they just think that language learning is a normal part. Like I talk, everybody knows, like all the Spanish con salsa coaches and everything, but my son, you know, he speaks Mandarin. He goes to a public school that offers Mandarin. And then my daughter's going to start Mandarin. And so to them, and then my son loves, so does my husband, they love football, like real football, soccer, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They're all in Spanish. And so there's maybe a little interest, I don't know about with my husband, maybe one day, but definitely like my son, like, oh, that's really interesting. Like a lot of his favorite players, you know, speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And then my daughter really loves it because she thinks that's just normal. Like mommy learns Spanish. And so just really making it like, this is normal. This is what we do, at least in our family. And yeah, it's just a really, really normalized, just making the time.
Now, I love that you've made like language learning just a norm in your house, because I think that a lot of us that grew up in the US, right, and we took a second language in school, it didn't feel like we were supposed to speak it. It felt more like it was like language appreciation, I call it, like art appreciation class. Like they don't expect you to paint a Van Gogh. They expect you to look at it and admire it and understand why it's great. It's the same thing with language classes, I find, in the US, especially like in public school. Generally, in the past, it had been, I think it's getting a little better now, but not much, right? That it's like, oh, you're going to learn a little bit about Spanish or about French or whatever it is. But it's awesome that your kids are learning Mandarin, by the way, and that they offer that. But it's like this idea, it's like you're learning about the language, but they don't really expect you to be able to speak. So I love that you've normalized it for your children and your family, and that you've said that it's about making it a priority, right? That it's fun. And when I find that you're enjoying something, it's a lot easier because it's like pulling you towards it versus you trying to pull yourself like, oh, I got to go learn today. It's like, oh, I want to listen to this new song, or I want to listen to that song again. It becomes a much more enjoyable experience versus like, oh, I got to go study, you know, versus that. It just changes like the whole vibe of how you approach learning a language. And yeah, so I love that you said that. And I do have a question and a follow-up question, because my son also loves soccer or football, right? Like as the rest of the world calls it. So I got to ask what his favorite players are. I want to see if there's any commonalities here.
So I want to make sure. So I know. So he Messi. So And then so I listen, but you know what I mean. Like his knowledge of soccer is just off the charts, right?
So were you like watching the World Cup? Did you see Messi in the World Cup?
Yeah. And then also Cristiano Ronaldo.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm. So many. He'll be like, Mom, how did you not know all my favorites? Or same thing with my husband, who they both like the Premier League. And so this is, you can see, like, not my specialty when I'm talking about football.
Well, but you know what? I think we need to get them together for a chat, because I think, like, my son is all over Ronaldo and Messi as well. We watched the World Cup. He had to tell me about soccer because he also plays soccer. So he was trying to explain to me what was going on in the World Cup. So I had to get educated too. So it sounds like we're in the same boat with that.
Yeah. And then they both like the Premier League. And then my husband likes Manchester City. And then he's a huge player for Manchester City. I can just picture him right now. So he just scores like amazing goals. And then my son is Manchester United. So, but they do kind of root for each other. So they're so enthusiastic. So yes, I keep learning more, but as you can tell, I'm kind of new and I'm trying to learn, because they just are so excited about. Yeah. So, but sometimes the games like are completely in Spanish.
Yes. So, yeah. You'll learn a lot of soccer vocabulary just watching that Beyond the Goal, right? You learn them kind of talking about things. Yeah. That's really cool. So we talked about like making time for the language by making it really a part of your life, you know, which I think is key, because when we're trying to do something, and especially when we have family, we have friends, we're already involved in things, it can feel sometimes, I don't know if you felt this way, but like learning a language, you can feel a little isolated because maybe you don't have friends that are already interested in learning Spanish. And you're like, I'm really interested in this. Like, where are my people, right? Where are the people that I can talk about this with, that kind of understand that feeling of, you know, when you hear people speaking Spanish, you're out in public and you're like eavesdropping because you're trying to see, will you pick up anything they say, right? You're like, who can I talk to that understands that? So I'm curious, with the Fluency Club, like, what did that change about the way that you approach Spanish? Have you found having the weekly conversations group help? Have you found having the weekly conversation groups to be helpful to you, or how has that changed how you've approached learning Spanish?
It's just so helpful because you actually use what you learn, right? So, and then you can also see where, you know, things you need to work on a little bit more. So, but yeah, and it allows me to be comfortable. Like, although everyone thinks I'm just the biggest extrovert, everybody thinks I am, but it's kind of, I guess I could say I'm kind of an extroverted introvert. Like, I can actually be very, very introverted at times. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of always force myself because I don't want to be in the corner, because I know if you're just in the corner not doing that, that's what introverts do. But you know what I mean? Like, I kind of force myself. So, but it allows you to feel comfortable so that it's not so stressful, right? So, and then it also allows you to make mistakes. And like, I don't know if I'm the queen of making mistakes, including in our group. but also allows you to make mistakes, especially like in the group versus like out in the community. There, I know people would be really nice, but yeah, it just takes the pressure off because they're so patient, and you also get to meet other people, and you get that camaraderie. So, because sometimes you do, some of the people that I have the most outside of the Fluency Club, like kind of understanding and kind of that camaraderie, is one of the people is the people who is the teacher at the gym where I go. And English is her second language, and Spanish is her first language. So when you talk to anybody that's learning another language, that camaraderie, like, you know, about language learning and stuff like that, because yeah, sometimes you feel kind of alone. So when you have that Spanish Fluency Club, yeah, you don't feel like, you know, everybody's kind of in this together and we all have a common interest. And because it can feel a little isolating, like, am I the only one that's deciding to learn Spanish in her 40s, you know? Or so it's just really nice to have that. And yeah, it's just, they're so fun. Like, we're learning, but like, it's so, like, as you, I mean, I know you're biased, you said this, because you should be, because they're fantastic. But yeah, the coaches are just absolutely fabulous. It's so fun and so knowledgeable.
Yeah. And I always tell people, like, I do always brag, like, that we have an amazing team, and they really do make it fun, and they make it interesting, and they make it easy. You know, like, I've never had anyone come out of a session and go, oh my gosh, I just felt so stressed out and I didn't know what to say, because our team is just great, and they'll work with you regardless of what your level is. And I love that you mentioned that it takes the stress out of things and being introverted, right? And people thinking that you're more extroverted. And I'm similar. I find that when I'm in smaller groups, like, I appear more extroverted than I actually am. but yeah, I think that's really important, because when you're stressed out, you literally can't even access the Spanish that you know that's in your brain, right? So if you don't find a place to practice, to kind of get over some of that anxiety that comes with learning and speaking a language as an adult, right? Because as kids, we're usually like, oh, it's fine. You know, you're not worrying about making mistakes. But something happens that as we get older, we're much more self-conscious, and we have this expectation that we're going to perform perfectly instead of thinking about connecting with the people that we're speaking to and being okay with not being perfect and making mistakes. So I love how you called yourself the queen of mistakes, because I think that's how you learn. You have to go out into the world and actually do things. It's similar to, I was taking a stand-up comedy class, ironically. And one of the things we talked about in the class was, you can't do stand-up comedy in your bedroom. Like, you can't just be writing jokes and never test them out. Because what if no one laughs? What if they're not funny? But if you spend like a year, like, I'm going to write the perfect jokes, and then you get up and they don't work, you've now spent a whole year and not realizing that maybe you were on the wrong track. So I think it's really interesting how it parallels with language learning, because to a certain point, like, unless you actually try to speak to someone, you might not even know what those mistakes are. And the quicker you find out what they are, the quicker you can correct them. So as long as you stay behind the app, behind the computer screen, afraid to have that conversation, the longer it is that it's going to take you before you even begin your journey to fluency. You know, because I always say, like you mentioned Latin, which is a great thing to learn so that you understand the base of a lot of words that are in Spanish, because that is the root of the spoken Spanish that we have today. But Latin is considered what? A dead language. Why? Because no one speaks it. So if you're learning Spanish and not speaking it, you basically kind of are learning Latin, right? Because you're not putting into practice what you're learning. So I love that you've been able to find some comfort in the group and some camaraderie. And I am curious to know, looking back on Kimberly a year ago, like this time last year, when you were just starting out and where you are now, what would you say is the biggest change you've noticed in your level of Spanish fluency? Like, what's the biggest impact it's made on you being a part of the Fluency Club?
So just mostly just as far as my comfort, understanding a lot more, though that's always the hardest for me is understanding, right? So, but just the comfort, and then just thinking back, like before, like I would do a few sessions with some outside Spanish from Salsa tutors, and I would understand some, but like so much, I wouldn't just be able to hear like so much. Like she was saying Europa, and then I'm like, is she talking about ropa clothes? Like, you know what I mean? Like everything was, you know, very confusing, and then not knowing the B's and the V's, right? Like, so why does the beer to live and the beer to drink sound like, yeah. Like they don't sound the theme. So, and then just my comfort level, like, and also just probably my accent. Like, I still really struggle. Like, it's going to be ongoing for me with my accent, but just pronouncing the word so much better before, and then being able to speak in Spanish, like for long periods of time. Like, I met my goal where we have to speak only in Spanish for at least 10 hours. So I met that, and sometimes it was a little bit of a struggle, but there's no way I could have done that a year ago. Like, okay, you're going to speak for about 2 hours in Spanish only. So like, what? Like, I can't do that. I'm going to have to say, como se dice. Like, so just the amount. And yes, I am learning, especially like, was it infinito, like Puerto Rico and Puerto Rico imperfecto. Yeah, I'm still learning. Sometimes I'll be telling a story, I'm like, I'm just going to have to go in the present tense because it's too hard. And yeah. So, and then just being able to speak and being able to kind of communicate. So, and understand some pretty difficult things. One of my professors does a lot of culture in Mexico, right? So some of the stuff is really kind of very difficult. So, and also sometimes the coaches, they'll talk about very specific things and some more kind of difficult, but getting basically understanding like the general idea, being able to communicate what I need to say, and then being able to understand. Yeah, it's the whole point, right? It's like I can do that. Whereas like there is just no way. And then you, one of your sessions, you taught this because I'm like, I have to know all the words. Like I need to know the word for vaccine and curtain and whatever. Like I need to know all these words. And you're like, no. Like you can just, the one, make sure you warm up. Like would you ever play like football or right? Or like would you ever just go just start running, right? You're going to warm up, right? You're going to listen to like a Spanish song and kind of warm up. And then also you can talk around. So, you know, if you forget, you know, the word, whatever they may be, there's been lots of words. Like I had forgotten the word for shark. And so I said in Spanish, like kind of like a fish in the ocean with big teeth. You know what I mean? So yeah. So just the comfort level and being able to see the progress. So like, it's such a gift. Like, thank you. Like, thank you for having this program. And yeah, I just followed it kind of to the T a little bit further ahead. And yeah, it's such a gift to be able to speak, and then you realize that they understand you, right? So you can even joke a little bit too. Like, you're like, wow, we're joking a little bit too. Like, it's just so fun.
Yeah, that's great. And I love that you mentioned like being able to talk around things, because that's one of those Spanish conversation hacks that, you know, I think people lose sight of. Like, they're like, no, but what if I forget a word, then I freeze up? And it's like, well, no, we teach you ways to like keep the conversation going, because the point is to communicate. The point is not to show that you are like perfect in some way, right? So I love that. That's been helpful to you, because it is a skill that you have to learn. Even if you have all the perfect vocabulary, being able to access it and use it in real time, and then knowing what to do when your memory fails, instead of just like giving up, right? Or freezing and going, or switching to English, which is what most people do, especially if they're talking to someone who's bilingual and also speaks English. But learning how to stay in that moment. And it's amazing that you've been able to talk in Spanish for a few hours, or listen to things and understand more. So I think that is just also a testament to you showing up in the club and actually doing the work. Because I think a lot of people just, you know, we'll sign up for courses and things and we'll go, okay, well, it'll do everything for me. But you've clearly made it a priority. You've made it fun. You have great energy around it. And I think that you've just done well. And so I thank you too for being a part of our community. And to end out, I'm going to ask you just a few questions in Espanol. Entonces, ¿estás lista?
Estoy lista.
Okay. Entonces, Kimberly, ¿cuál es tu canción favorita en Espanol?
Trace por la mañana for Desi y Joy.
Ah, okay. Esa es una bachata, ¿verdad?
No. Aunque me gusta la bachata de Prince Royce y Romeo Santos. Sí, es una canción con gente de zona.
Okay.
Sí, y Desi y Joy son hermanos. Creo que Desi y Joy son de México y no es la bachata.
Okay. Entonces tengo que buscar esa canción. Otra pregunta. Si no tuvieras que trabajar, ¿qué harías con el tiempo adicional?
Paso tiempo con mi esposo y mis hijos, y me gustaría con mi familia. Nos gustaría viajar a Costa Rica y Puerto Rico y viajar a lugares de Estados Unidos, y nos gustaría relajar en nuestra casa.
Entonces, relajar es una buena idea.
Sí.
Y la última pregunta que tengo es, ¿tienes alguna palabra o frase de español que es tu favorita?
Sí. Claro que sí. Si una madre dice, ¿puedes ayudarme? Mi compañero de trabajo dice, claro que sí.
Ok, muy bien. Claro que sí es una frase muy, muy útil, yo creo, porque puedes decir claro que sí para decir sí. Es mejor que solo dice sí. También puedo decir claro que sí. Tiene más énfasis. It's more like sure. You're like definitely versus just like yeah, you know. So I love that too. I love claro que sí too. Entonces, muchísimas gracias otra vez. Thank you, Kimberly, so much for your time and talking to us about your experience in the Spanish Fluency Club.
You're so welcome. I love Spanish con Salsa. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Kimberly. And wow, she was just really inspiring. I don't know about you, but I left energized after this conversation. And again, she's really just showing that if you make Spanish a part of your life, and if you're excited about it and you approach it in a fun way, that you can really make a lot of progress. So I want you to think about looking back where you were around this time last year, and how much progress have you made with your Spanish in that time? Do you feel confident about speaking the language? And if the answer is no, I invite you to check out our Spanish Fluency Club. Right now, the doors are open, but if you're listening to this after May 7th, you can still check it out because our waiting list will be there. So if you sign up, you'll be the first to know when we open doors again. But hopefully, if you're hearing this the first week of May 2023, you have until Sunday, May 7th to sign up for the Fluency Club. And we do have limited spots available because we really do work to match everyone up with a group that will work for them. So don't wait till the last day. Don't wait till the last minute. If you're interested, if you really think that you've been doing a lot of learning, but you really need to put into practice everything that you've been learning in Spanish, or if you're just not sure where to start to get to fluency, check out the Spanish Fluency Club, SpanishConSalsa.com/join. That's SpanishConSalsa.com/join to get all the details about the Spanish Fluency Club, and we really do give you everything you need to get to fluency. So don't wait. Like Kimberly said, her mom said, there is never a perfect time, and I cannot agree more. The only perfect time is when you decide. It's all about making a decision that my life is not going to get any easier. I'm not getting any younger. I'm not going to be any less busy because something is always going to come up. I want to be fluent in Spanish, so I'm making it a priority in my life right now. And we love to be a part of that journey. SpanishConSalsa.com/join. And as always, I hope that something you heard on the podcast has helped you go one step closer from Spanish beginner to bilingual. Hasta la próxima.